Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the internet. First, a follow-up and answer some questions regarding the Watts story yesterday. Second, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell have their trial date set. Third, an example of why no one ever gets punished in the government. Fourth, the accused in the Ahmaud Arbery case remain in custody. An example of one of the dumbest things you could possibly do, and then our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave us a comment below. Now, yesterday, we brought you some significant news. That was regarding the insurance policy that Chris Watts had through his employer, Anadarko Petroleum, and that ultimately, the insurance company filed what they refer to as an interpleader action saying, we know we have to pay this money to somebody. Court, you decide who gets it and in what amounts, if any. We told you yesterday, we do not know exactly if the Watts received nothing, a penny, or half of it. We simply do not know. And how do we know that we do not know? Well, the order signed by the judge, by United States District Court Judge, Judge Moore, who's a very good judge. I know him. I have done several trials in front of him, but this was a very perfunctory order in this particular case. And he signed the order basically saying that the $450,000 be sent to the attorney's trust account for the attorneys that represent the Rusicks. Now, the settlement referenced in the motion to dismiss doesn't state who gets what and how much. It just simply says that the parties have reached an agreement and therefore the case should be dismissed, send all the money to the Rusicks, and if there was going to be any disbursements, if any, to the Watts, then they would write the checks there. So just want to make clear, nothing says the Watts received any money, and it was very clear from the comments below yesterday, nobody thinks the Watts should receive a single penny at all. So I hope that clarifies that question that came up quite a bit, but they didn't receive any money as far as we know. They could have split the money. They could have got nothing. You just never know. Next on the docket, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell now know when their trial will begin. The new dates are on the calendar for the combined jury trial for Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow Daybell in 2021. As you may recall, the couple was scheduled for separate jury trials until last month when District Judge Stephen Boyce approved a motion by Special Prosecutor Rob Wood to combine the cases. Now, the trial is now scheduled to begin on July 12th. Now, of course, that is subject to change if there's any motions for continuances and if they're granted. Additionally, it's also subject to, are they going to be conducting jury trials in July of 2021? I can tell you where I reside right now, the state has basically stopped doing jury trials at least until January. And unless the cases of COVID go down, I can't see us resuming jury trials anytime soon. However, people in custody have a right to a speedy trial, and you can't just continue it because of a public health crisis. Now, I've done one of the few trials post-COVID, and that was in United States District Court. It worked fine. Yes, the jury was spread out throughout the entire courtroom, not just in the jury box, but it worked well. Now, maybe that's because I got a not guilty on that particular case. Maybe that's why I think it can all be done. If I had lost, maybe I'd want to blame it on the new procedures for COVID. Needless to say, there's going to be a trial short of some sort of guilty plea. Now, that certainly gives the accused in this particular case at least another 8 months to stew about what's going to happen to them. And that can be one of the biggest factors that makes somebody want to enter into a plea disposition. People like certainty. Uncertainty scares people. And when people get scared, sometimes they don't always make the best decisions, but sometimes they do make decisions. And that could be, give me a deal, let's get on with our lives. No word yet. I could imagine that the special prosecutor, Rob Wood, would probably cut a deal with someone. And if I were a betting man on this one, I would say he would rather have Chad Daybell as the flip witness, the witness turned state's witness, because I think they perceive, and they rightfully should, that Lori Vallow is much more culpable because she obviously did not protect her children. Now, there were a couple of other hearings that were supposed to take place rather shortly, but those have been continued as well. For example, Mr. Pryor, who is Chad DeBell's attorney, was scheduled to argue dismissal of the case later in November, and there was supposed to be a hearing regarding a change of venue. That has now been moved to January 6th of 2021. Pryor has argued that Chad DeBell cannot obtain a fair trial in the small eastern Idaho town due to the extensive media coverage in this particular case. I'm not sure what the judge will do. I've done high-profile cases in small towns. I had a case a couple years ago up in Telluride where we brought in, I think, close to 800 jurors to try and see if we could get a jury. A lot of people had not heard about the case. Normally what takes place is the judge will say, I will take your motion under advisement. We will wait to see if we cannot select a jury. That's usually when a change of venue is granted. I can tell you in my particular case, the judge granted that change of venue. She moved it to the same judicial district because it involved several counties, and therefore it didn't go through a reassignment that usually takes place when a judge says, I need a change of venue. It usually goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court then will designate a location for the trial. All the players remain the same. You just go do it at a different courthouse. Next on the docket, this is an example of why no one ever gets in trouble in the government. Remember Alex Acosta? That's right. He was in the Trump administration, but resigned when the whole guy named Jeff incident came about. Well, why? Well, he was the United States Attorney for the Southern District of Florida. And according to the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility, it's kind of the people that, it's like attorney regulation, you know, their HR department, so to speak, has conducted a report. And of course, the report took 2 years to conclude. And what does it say? It basically says that Mr. Acosta was cleared of any misconduct in opting to resolve the case, but it really showed poor judgment. That's good to know that we have people at that level exercising poor judgment. And they found that this guy who was politically connected, who could afford as many attorneys as he possibly could resolve his federal case, his potential federal case, where he could spend the rest of his life in prison, or he could resolve it in state court, pleading guilty to a few prostitution charges and spending little to no time in custody. Yeah, that doesn't look fishy at all. But the most we can worry about is poor judgment. According to the Office of Professional Responsibility, Mr. Acosta exercised poor judgment, but there was nothing to show that he was influenced inappropriately or there was any corruption whatsoever. At least that only took 2 years to do. That's why nobody ever has to worry about getting in trouble at a federal job. Next on the docket, please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. Take a look at this testimonial, completely unsolicited. A viewer signed up for the background subscription service. She receives a request to basically date from a guy. She runs a background report, figures out, guess what? He has a criminal history and currently has a warrant. Good decision. Probably the best $25 she ever spent. And in that report, she not only got criminal history, she got information related to bankruptcies, civil judgments, social media, emails, and telephone numbers associated with that particular individual. Yes, I hope you take my word, but take the words of a completely unsolicited subscriber who says, thank you, it was the right and the best decision I made. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You too will be happy that you did. Now, yesterday, we brought you the story regarding the father-son team of Travis McMichael, 34, and father Gregory McMichael, 64, who remain in custody pending their trial regarding allegations they were responsible for the death of Ahmaud Arbery. I told you I thought it was very unlikely, but the decision had not been made by the time we went to filming yesterday. Well, needless to say, the judge agreed with me and said, no, gentlemen, you will remain in custody. You are charged with the death of somebody. You are considered a flight risk and a danger to the community. Now, both the father and son had their wife slash mother testify for them, saying they're good guys. They're not going to leave or go anywhere. Of course, you would hope your wife would say that. You would hope your mother would say that. But it really has nothing to do whatsoever what a judge needs to consider when it comes to letting somebody out of custody on a homicide case. One of the things the court also considers is the strength of the evidence against the accused when deciding a bond. Why? Because that makes it more likely that one could in fact flee. I assure you, a judge has oftentimes been told, trust me, I'll make sure he gets to all the court appearances. And guess what? They fail to do that. Not saying to get it right all the time, but once again, doing this for 25 years, you kind of get a feeling where the judge is going to go. Next on the docket, an example of one of the dumbest things you could possibly do. Now, I'm a pilot. I have heard stories about people shining lasers at pilots as they are approaching landing. Well, in this particular case, this knucklehead, a man by the name of Jason Ogle, was standing outside his home Friday night and pointing a laser directly into the sky. Well, that beam was strong enough and bright enough for the pilot to pinpoint Ogle's location, and the deputies on the ground were able to arrest him. You can actually see it. Well, guess what? That pilot could have been blinded. He actually had to seek medical treatment. But if he obviously couldn't see, he could potentially crash the airplane. This is one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen. I'm not sure why anybody needs a laser pointer that strong. Why somebody would point it at an airplane is simply beyond me. Let's hope Mr. Ogle receives the appropriate punishment for pointing a laser light at a driver or a pilot. Yes, that's right. It's a crime. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. He hasn't been identified. Maybe that's okay. I don't think I'd want to admit to this either. Well, anyway, the unidentified suspect was being pulled over in the Cherokee County by the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office. And it was a simple license plate violation in which he was being pulled over. Well, the suspect immediately fled from the vehicle, went off into the woods. The police officers didn't give chase immediately. They did what most police officers would do. Hey, this guy's eventually going to want his car back, and I'm sure we can find out who owns it by looking on the inside. Well, they inventory the bag that they find inside. It's a backpack, and the police officers locate items inside of the backpack. Yes, one was a winning lottery ticket. Nothing huge, but it was worth $100. But guess what the police also had in the backpack? That's right. The unidentified suspect's methamphetamine. The spokesperson for the sheriff's office has stated that the man, when he is released from custody, they ultimately were able to catch up with him, that when he asks for his personal property when he bonds out or finishes his sentence, whichever may come first, that yes, he in fact can have his $100 winning lottery ticket back, but they're keeping the meth. So our unidentified man from Georgia, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day, which does what, you may ask? That's right. Puts you in running to be crowned the winner for the Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week. And guess what happens? That's right. If you're Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week, I will hunt you down and I will send to you a Crime Talk mug. Now, we have various colors. You don't have to just get the black one. You don't have to get the red one. You can get multiple colors. And in fact, I had a viewer who sent me an email the other day. We're going to send you a mug. Frank will be reaching out to you. Just get the address. Hopefully any color will do. I'm not sure what we have in our inventory here at the office. But let's go over our contestants for the week. Now, obviously today, our unidentified man from Georgia, leaving his winning lottery ticket. Monday, We had Mr. Caballero. That's right. No lettuce on his burger and gets arrested for threatening the staff. We have Miss Jones. Remember her? She's a repeat dumb criminal contestant. When she was found outside naked of a convenience store by the dumpster, naked, pleasuring herself. She was arrested for similar conduct the last time she was our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Who could forget Miss Ragsdale, who was impersonating an FBI agent and going to the Chick-fil-A and saying, I'm an FBI agent, give me free food. And of course, who could possibly forget Miss McClinton? She was so drunk on the airplane, even though no alcohol beverages were served on the plane, so she apparently was drunk before she got on there, but got into an altercation with the passenger next to her, which resulted in her stripping down to her underpants and a t-shirt only. It's not exactly clear why she thought she had to get naked in this argument, but, well, that's one of the reasons that gets you to the dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please leave me a note below in the comments. Who do you think we should crown the dumb criminal contestant of the week? We have voter integrity here, so we will count them up, we will tally them up, and give you the result on Monday, and then we'll see who gets the cool Crime Talk merchandise. Now, as always, if you don't want to become a dumb criminal contestant, go to the link below, take you right there to Teespring. You can order not only coffee cups, cool shirts. There's all kinds of cool Crime Talk stuff. Get it for the holidays. Order it now. Put it under the tree so that, you know, your spouse looks good and he gets you exactly what you want, which is Crime Talk gear. Who doesn't want that for Christmas? I'll be giving it away for sure. All right. Thanks for watching. Please tune in tomorrow. We'll have a recap for those of you who may not have seen everything this week. We'll give you the condensed version on Saturday. Have a great day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk.